Grace and peace be yours from the God who made us and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. As I wrestled with the sermon this week, pun intended, I tried to figure out what it was I wanted to make sure we heard and what God wanted us to hear. And even yesterday, I was coming home from Pennsylvania teaching, and I was thinking about this and trying to figure out what it was that we were supposed to hear. And here's what I think it is. I put it on the screen. That God's deepest desire is to bless us and use us, even the wounded us. And I think that's what we see in this lesson, that God's deepest desire is for us to be feeling blessed and useful to God, even in our brokenness, even in our woundedness, even in the places where we feel most fragile and where we've been most at risk. The story we have is the story of Abraham and Sarah's grandson, Jacob. Abraham and Sarah had a son, Isaac. Isaac married Rebekah. Rebekah and Isaac had two children, one named Esau. We heard him mentioned in the text this morning, and one named Jacob. We heard him as the main character in the story in many ways. And Esau and Jacob were twins, but Esau came out of the womb first. He was the oldest twin. And it was close because it says that Jacob was hanging on to his heel as he came out. And as Esau came out almost immediately after hanging on to his leg, Jacob appeared as well. So these were two twins, almost simultaneous, just born literally minutes apart. But Esau was the older one. A few seconds, a few years, it doesn't matter. The oldest son gets the blessing. Well, in our story this morning, Esau has had his birthright, his blessing, stolen. We didn't hear that part of the story, but it's already happened. And Rebekah, who loved and was really, Jacob was her favorite more than Esau, has been part of the whole plan to help Esau lose the blessing and Jacob get the blessing. And so they've kind of made a little plot to trick Isaac, who's old and feeble, into blessing Jacob instead. He's stolen the blessing, he's received the birthright thing through his father, and now he realizes how terrified he is because Esau is not happy that Jacob has stolen all his stuff. And as was read this morning, they were fleeing, and Jacob had both of his wives and 11 of his kids and all these things that were with him, and he was fleeing because he knew that if Esau caught them, he would kill them, every one of them, including all the women and children. Esau was livid. He was furious at what had happened. Well, as part of this journey, the night comes and they pitch camp, and Jacob sets everybody aside, and he's there by the river, and he runs into somebody. He knows not who it is, but whoever it is begins to wrestle with him, begins to attack him, and they spent all night wrestling and wrestling and wrestling, and it goes until the sun is beginning to break on the early morning dawn, and it's time to finish, and this man who's wrestling, Jacob says, "Give up, quit." And Jacob refuses, "Not until you bless me." So they keep wrestling, and the man who he's wrestling with reaches down and dislocates Jacob's socket of his hip and dislocates it, weakens him, but Jacob still refuses to let go. He's clinging there, hanging on, "Not until you bless me." And the man blesses him, and the fight ends, and Jacob leaves. He's blessed in this struggle. He's blessed for hanging on. I don't know why he was so adamant about being blessed. My hunch is that he sensed that he was wrestling with God and that the only blessing he had, he felt, was so illegitimate. It had been stolen that he'd taken this blessing, and he felt so bad about this blessing that was his that was not legitimate that he needed something directly from God to legitimate something else. But he would not give up without the blessing. And he's actually blessed because of the struggle. By refusing to give up, by refusing to let go, by persisting in all of this, the man who's there wrestling with him eventually says, "Okay, we're going to dislocate your hip. We're not going to ever let you forget this. You're going to walk with a limp for the rest of your life, but I'm going to bless you." Now, this wound is huge. Jacob is known for his limp for the rest of his life. Always walk with a limp. Everybody who sees him will know of the struggle and of the wound that's there, and it will never heal up completely, and Jacob will be the one with the limp. But this limp is part of the struggle. It's part of his encounter. It's part of his life, and he can't let go of it. And eventually, it's because of this pressure and this thing that happens, that it happens. And I think one of the things it reminds us of is that in some way or another, we all walk with a limp, don't we? Every one of us have been wounded, have been hurt, have experienced losses, sometimes wounded and hurt one another, experienced pain. And every one of us have some sort of battle scars for living. One of the realities is you cannot walk your whole life without eventually limping. You cannot live a life without being wounded. You cannot live a life without being hurt. You cannot invest in any meaningful relationships with anybody that are going to endure and not hurt each other in the process. You can't. It's impossible. If you invest in anything or anybody in any way, you're going to get hurt. They're not going to always hurt you on purpose. You might even think they did. They're not always going to hurt you on purpose. You might think they did. But you're going to hurt. You're going to get wounds. And then you have to decide, is my wound going to shut me down and close me up and make me want to hide under a rock? I'm just not going to engage anymore. I'm not going to do that. I'm too wounded. Or is your wound going to allow you to stand up and with a limp get out there and walk? It's the choice we all face, isn't it? You can walk with a limp or you cannot walk at all, but those are the only two ways we have eventually. We can walk wounded or we walk not at all. What we see in this lesson is that God desires, in fact, God is even the source of the wound. God desires, even when we're wounded by God, that we keep walking. You see, Jacob is renamed Israel in this act of blessing, and the name Israel means God contends or to contend with God. And it is a reminder, not only that Jacob, but now it is imprinted up on all of Jacob's ancestors. We don't go to the Middle East and visit the country Jacob. We go to the Middle East and visit the country Israel. Because all the descendants of those who were wounded in this walk are now marked as a wounded people who contend with God and whom God contends with. And out of that relationship, blessing will come, and hopefully all the world will be blessed through this one who walks with a limp. Isn't that amazing? It's in the pain and the struggle and the suffering and in the blessing that comes through that somehow that Israel becomes marked as a chosen people, and that out of that rise all the ancestors that eventually Jesus would emerge from. And when we think about Jesus, we think again about one who comes, and not in this huge victory and his huge triumph, but one who goes to the cross, one who comes to be wounded. If you were listening to the gospel lessons when Jesus is praying, it's the very night before he's going to die. He's had supper with his disciples. He knows what's going down. He knows Judas has already left, that people are going to come and arrest him really soon. He says, I got to go out and pray. He brings some of his closest friends with him, and he says, you know, I'm really a mess. I'm just really messed up. Really, I got to pray. And he sits there with God and prays, and what's he say? I don't want to be wounded. That's what he says. If this cup could pass before me without me drinking from it, let it be so. I don't want to be wounded. This is going to hurt like nothing I've ever experienced before. And I don't want to hurt. That's what Jesus' prayer is. It's the prayer we all pray, right? I don't want to hurt. But I'll do whatever it takes, he says. Not my will, but yours. They come and arrest him. They nail him to a cross. After mocking and beating and flogging, all the things that they do to get him ready to really hurt, because the cross is serious wounds. And eventually he dies, and they put him in the ground, the wounds so great that they took every bit of life out of him that he had. And then on Easter morning, he rose up because God's persistent desire to bless is so great that wounding, even death, won't stop God. That's who God is. That's what God is about. God is a God who enters the woundedness, uses the woundedness, blesses the woundedness, and persists through woundedness. That's what death and resurrection are all about. A life without wounds is a life without resurrection. Because a life without wounds is a life without healing. And Jesus comes to experience and to encounter and to be part of that, whether we like it or not. Our Savior is actually the most wounded, perhaps, of any of us. And he's alive and returns to bless. And the very sign that he's the right one, the one that comes to bless, is the fact that he's wounded. Do you remember that story? The night of the resurrection, the disciples are hidden in their room upstairs, and Jesus comes and he shows him his hands and his side. And they rejoice, for it was the Lord. They recognize him not because he was alive, but because of his wounds. Thomas wasn't there. He couldn't see the wounds. He could hear the story. He could hear their excitement. He could believe if he wanted or not believe if he wanted, but he hadn't gotten to see the wounds. And he said, what? Unless I see the marks in his hands and the wounds in his side. For Thomas, the evidence wasn't even that you heard that Jesus was alive, but that he was wounded. I want to see the same one who was wounded, the same guy who died on a cross. I want to meet him. And a week later, Thomas comes and Jesus says, look, I'm the wounded one. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Not just because he meets Jesus, but because he meets the wounded and risen Jesus. Wounds are so important to God. The places we hurt are so important to Jesus. And they're important to us as followers that, in a sense, we can't be what God calls us to be unless we take our wounds and we walk with them. Unless we take the things that threaten to kill us and we rise up from them. And that's what God is constantly, constantly doing in our lives. You see, it's by Christ's wounds that we are healed, Isaiah says. That if you want Christ to heal you, you have to first acknowledge that the Savior you follow is wounded, suffered pain, and that he suffered that because actually that's what life is. It's a journey filled with joys and celebrations and suffering and pain and woundedness. May you today remember your wounds, the places you hurt, and the way you got hurt. May you find God there, present and blessing you. And may you rise up, wounded yet made whole in Christ, to go forth to be an instrument of healing and wholeness. For we are wounded, and everyone we meet will be wounded too. And yet the Christ who is wounded has died and rose again, that all of us might find life. Amen.